Well, good morning, Calvary. I wish I could see your smiling faces, but I'm just going to intuit and believe that you're listening this morning, and I'm going to open us with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for all you do in our lives. We thank you, Father, for your grace wherewith you saved us and you drew us unto yourself. We thank you, Father, for your preventive grace that continues to work in our life in every situation, every day. So, Father, we just want to give you the glory and thank you. Especially, Lord, we want to pray for our president and the people all around him, Mike Pence, that are trying to deal with this COVID-19 pandemic. Lord, I know there's probably all kinds of information coming from all kinds of sources, and they have to filter that through. So I pray, Father, that you would just be with them, keep them safe, help them to have the strength and the heart to do what they understand and feel is right. And I know that Mike Pence, the vice president, he is a born-again believer. So I know that he is taking these things to prayer. I know that President Trump claims to have a relationship with you, and I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that I would believe most wholeheartedly that Mike Pence is praying over everything they do. So I thank you for that, and I'm sure there are countless others that are standing there that we can thank you for their guidance and their instruction. So we pray, Father, you will help us as a nation, as a people, to come through this particular epidemic. And Father, I pray for all those that are having terrible struggles. They've lost their jobs. They have no income. Sometimes there's family members that are sick. Sometimes they had other conditions that heart, lungs, pneumonia, all kinds of things. And they're having to deal with all that in the midst of this pandemic, which has displaced everything. I know my son Todd is waiting for his physical therapy to start again. They just laid off everybody in that whole unit. At the same time, they laid off some of these RNs, and all of them were medical workers. The very next day, I heard that they were asking doctors and nurses to come back out of retirement. I don't understand, Lord, but you know the needs, and I pray, Father, you'll meet all those needs. I ask a special blessing on all those that are listening this morning. Pray, Father, you just reach out, touch their hearts, let your word find place in their hearts that you might give them strength and comfort, because I ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read a verse from John this morning, chapter 16, verse 33, and then one following. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And then in verse 17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true." I pray, Father, that you would help that word to find place in our hearts, that would set us apart, strengthen us unto you. Lord, I read a story about an artist in Mexico who lost his right hand while working on a statue. Amazingly, he did not give up on his work, his project. It took him long hours, tedious, frustrating efforts, but slowly he taught himself to carve with his left hand, and remarkably, he finished the carving that he had begun when he lost his right hand. It was beautiful, and he called it "In Spite of." You know, a sound body, good physical health, that's a wonderful thing. A brilliant mind, that's also a wonderful asset that many people have. Cultural backgrounds, we here in America, as Americans, reap so many marvelous bounty just because we're here in this country. We have grocery stores, we have places to go to get medical care, all kinds of just countless blessings. And education, it's a wonderful thing. And of course, it doesn't hurt to have some money. But none of these things, in spite of what we're taught or the world teaches us, guarantees success or victory. Booker T. Washington, and I'm sure you know about Booker T. Washington. He was born in slavery. I don't know of anybody in our present situation or our present time who overcame greater obstacles than he did. Slavery, what a pervasive evil that had taken place in our nation and across the world. But he overcame. He used his gifts and talents of God. He developed many revolutionary aspects to help the South in growing crops. And of course, he established the Tuskegee Institute, which is, of course, a university today. I don't know if you know, but Thomas Edison was deaf. I did not know that. But he couldn't hear thunder. But the one I like best of all is Abraham Lincoln, because years ago I found out that Abraham Lincoln had tried to run for all kinds of offices. He had tried to run for the Senate. He had tried to run for Congress. He tried to run for postmaster, general post, all kinds of things. Matter of fact, 15 times he tried for an elected office to serve in the United States of America. But the only election that he ever won was the presidency. And if you go back and you find out that even in that, he was not the first choice. He was not the second. It was one of those kind of conventions where they had to come together and try to sort through who their nominee would be. He was the last choice because he was the last man standing. And of course, we look to Abraham Lincoln as being a great inspiration. He led the country through the Civil War. And perhaps because he was assassinated in Ford's Theater, we judge all those things together and think of him as a wonderful and great president. But 15 times he failed. The 16th time he had victory. Robert Louis Stevenson, I don't know if you knew that, he had tuberculosis. And of course he wrote Treasure Island, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, many other classics. Tuberculosis. Louis Pasteur was so nearsighted that he had a hard time finding his way to his laboratory. If he did not have somebody to take him by the hand, if he had misplaced his glasses, he couldn't find his own office. Well, we all face obstacles. We all face challenges in our lives, most assuredly. And this COVID-19, I suspect, may well be the biggest challenge our generation has to face. But we will face it, we are facing it, and we will come out on the other side. But I want you to remember one thing this morning that this particular sermon has to deal with, and this is it, a very simple, basic truth. There is no obstacle too great for our God. There is no obstacle too big for our God not to be able to handle it. Remember what the Apostle Paul said over in Romans chapter 8 and 28, and I think we looked at this passage about 3 weeks ago, but he begins by saying, and we know. Paul's not saying that he, you know, as a giant of the faith, this is what he knows, but he's saying that we as believers, everyday, common, ordinary believers, we know, we affirm, we are assured that in all things, God works together for good to them that love him, to them who are called according to his purposes. Someone asked Johnny Erickson Tata, who is a quadriplegic, a question. How can God allow such great suffering in the world? I suspect that this questioner probably had in mind, he's looking at this beautiful girl who was injured in a diving accident in her swimming pool in her backyard. Once she was fully mobile, and after that injury, she broke her neck and she was never able to move again. And so I suspect he was probably thinking that she would be harboring some bitterness, some anger, because here she was in this particular position, and that God had not chosen to fully heal her or free her from that body that now was not working in anywhere sense of form like it had been working. So I'm suspect that he was looking for some kind of answer that would be objectively critical of how God might work. But she answered this way. She said, God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Well, it's amazing, isn't it? Johnny Erickson taught her we might not have ever known who she was had she not been paralyzed in her swimming pool in her backyard, because she's become an inspiration, a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in a world of hurt and despair. We might ask then, what does God love? Well, he loves you. He loves me. He loves Johnny Erickson Tata, and he loves us and wants us to have a forever relationship with him. This transit time, this walk in time, is not all there is. God has us in a place in salvation in Christ, not only for time, but for eternity. Listen, I'm not trying to minimize suffering. I'm not trying to minimize heartache or death. There's nothing good in cancer. Those who seem to indicate that there's something that can be learned from this that will be helpful to us, I'm sure they're thinking from a standpoint of medicine, but there's nothing good in cancer. There's nothing good in sex trafficking. Our nation is caught up in this pervasive evil. It's almost unbelievable that in the year 2020, that there still can be this kind of pervasive evil, not only in the world, but in our nation, right here in America, right here in Indiana. A few years ago, they busted a sex trafficking ring. There's nothing good in death. There's nothing good in this pandemic. But God's holy word recognizes this. It states clearly that until Jesus returns in glory and conquers Satan once for all, imprisons and chains him, sin will continue to extend its poisonous tentacles around the world, trying to corrupt, trying to destroy, and destroy everything it touches. Revelation 19:11 has this remarkable picture for us. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." I remember hearing a pastor years and years ago who read from this passage, and a lady came up afterwards and asked the pastor, "Pastor, there in Revelation 19, it says that Jesus came on a white horse. What does that mean?" And the pastor thought for a moment, and he said, "Ma'am, I think that was the color of the horse." Well, sometimes these things do have symbolic meaning, but literally, he is coming again. And he is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he's going to judge the world and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he that hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's truly a frightening description. A frightening picture, is it not? But I believe that it is frightening because it shows the intensity of the battle of salvation, righteousness, and sin. It also affirms the power of God to defeat sin, death, and hell. The defeat of sin and its horrible consequences is coming. A finality is coming, and God is going to make all things new. Paul is reminding us of this incredible reality of our well-being in Christ Jesus, who makes all things work together for good to them that love God. Even this COVID-19 can be made to work for good. That's God's promise, that he's going to work in all things. So even in this situation, I've heard, and I've just recently heard, that there are those who believe that this particular time in our nation, that there is a movement of God going on. And I have noticed, just in general, there seems to be a more cordiality. People are a little bit more friendly, willing to help and willing to extend courtesy than they have before. I do pray that these things will turn to a spiritual impact in people's lives, and God might again send another great awakening to America and to the world. Well, these are very serious challenges that the COVID-19 has before us. However, the biggest obstacle, the bigger the victory. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the comeback. With the Lord Jesus, we can navigate the deepest, darkest valleys of life and walk high upon the mountains of Jesus' victory on the cross and the glorious resurrection. We must remember that. Maybe you're sitting in a pit of despair this morning, but you're not stuck there. Just don't give up. Never give up. Never be afraid to call out unto the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27 states for us very plainly, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Call out to the Lord. Make your wishes and your requests known to him. We need to focus on his mercy, his grace, and his power, not our strength and not our resources. Jesus tells us over in John 16:33 that I read a moment ago, in this world you will have tribulation. In this world you're going to have troubles. But be of good cheer. Don't lose heart. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Never feel like you're alone, because you're not. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Listen, we're never alone. We need to realize, as the people of God, as the saved, and that's a good Bible word. I know there are people who say we shouldn't use that word, but Paul says, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Being saved, we are ministers, and we are to minister in his awesome power. And what kind of power is that? That's the power we find in Christ Jesus, whose power enabled him on the third day to raise from the dead. We believe this with all our hearts. This is the essence of Christianity, and we serve a risen Savior. We human beings try to determine what to do. What actions should we take? How do we find our way? Well, sometimes we use very simplistic and, of course, non-helpful ways. Sometimes we roll dice, we cast lots, we make our calculations, we sit down, we try to figure out all the ins and outs. But all these things, all our reasoning is incomplete, because we're incomplete in the facts that we have. Proverbs 19:21 tells us, many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Again, let me try to encourage you this morning to direct your thoughts and your mind unto the Lord. God is always in control. We may not understand, and sometimes maybe our faith is wavering and faulty, but that doesn't change anything. Resurrection Day is not something that happened thousands and thousands of years ago. It is the present reality of our salvation in Christ Jesus. If we are putting our faith and trust in Christ and believing that he rose from the dead, that we have salvation in his name, we need necessarily then to believe that even in this day, our day, in this present crisis, he is still Lord. The only thing that I can give you as an explanation is this basic but very great truth. The Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, is in charge. It's only our sinful arrogance that causes us to think that we're in charge. James says over in James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, we say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So James is saying, well, we make our plans. that tomorrow we're going to go down to Indianapolis, or we're going to go to New York City, and we're going to continue there for a little while, and we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to make a lot of money. But he reminds us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, trust the Lord God Almighty. Tomorrows are in his hands. Tomorrows are in his capable hands. A wise man once quipped, ships don't sink because of water all around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets into them. Well, we've been isolated. We have been quarantined. What's been getting into your mind and heart? Perhaps there's uncertainty. That's reasonable. Perhaps there's fear, and that's certainly another reason thing that we in our flesh experience all the time. But what we should be putting into our minds and hearts is the word and the wisdom of eternal God. Keeping Jesus in our hearts, never giving up. There is no obstacle too big for God. Not unemployment, and I know that many are unemployed, and that unemployment has touched many, but we're not facing COVID-19 by ourselves. And COVID-19 is not stronger than our God. Adversity can make us stronger if it pushes us into a stronger walk with the Lord Jesus. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, John tells us, the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Let me draw you back to John 16:33 again. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. 15 times Abraham Lincoln failed to win an election. He could have stopped, he could have given up, he could have tried other things, but he continued to press on. And the 16th time, he became the president of the United States. He made history. His actions, his faith, his direction in the Civil War, we count him as one of our greatest presidents. But 15 times out of 16 times, he was a failure. If we were to give those odds to any Las Vegas odds maker, he would have said, don't bet on Lincoln. But listen, we may have failed many, many times. But I just want to encourage you one more time. Continue to place your faith and trust in Jesus. Continue to cry out unto him. Make your requests known unto the Lord. Because the Lord God Almighty, the God that we serve and who loves us with an everlasting love, will give the victory. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for who you are. I pray, Father, you reach out today and touch hearts and minds. Maybe, Lord, this quarantine has put people in their homes, and it's beginning to be a little close there. They're getting tired of sitting around doing these things, not being able to do some of the things that they want to do. And maybe, Lord, some of the restrictions have not only confined them to less travel to their home, but also has cut into their ability to survive. So I pray, Father, that you would just give us your mind and your heart. Lift us up. Draw us unto yourself. And, Lord, take our minds off all the problems that we have and help us to focus on you, that these focuses will bring about victory in our life, strength in our lives, walking closer to you, and, Lord, you might have your way in this nation and in this world. For we ask these strong things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.